Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to The Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And I hope that what we talk about here just really gives you some uplifting and also a little bit of laughter. So, of course, I always start all of our shows with something uplifting, and today's is You Must Be the Change You Wish to See in the World. And this is probably the most important time of the world. We're in a political change. We don't know what's going on in the world. We've got so many things going on. And if you can just be that little bit of change that you want to see, it's infectious. And I'm sure that you will help so many people around you. So with that, I also want to share that we have October 10th at the Palm Garden Hotel. We have our business mixer, and I would love to get you there. If you are a business owner or a entrepreneur, just text us and we can send you a registration. And of course, that is happening 5 to 8, and we would love you to be there so you can get to speak about your business. Also, if you would like to share your show, your business on our show, we would love to have you there too. And of course, our number here is 805-419-0008. We've got tickets to VenturaLaughs.com. And if you would like to go to comedy, just text us at, again, 805-419-0008. Of course, I'm really excited to have my first guest. And of course, we're talking about Monica White, food chair of Ventura. And Monica White, she is the president and CEO of Food Share of Ventura County. I know lots of you already know her. And of course, let me tell you, this lady is a powerhouse. And we are going to talk and find out a little bit more about her. But they are actually feeding 75,000 hungry people each month. That's huge. That's huge. And they've been celebrating 40 years of serving Ventura County. I'm excited to bring her on. And Monica White, are you there?
Oh, Kim, thank you so much for inviting me. It's we've been working on putting this together for a while, and I'm glad we finally were able to make it work. Because whenever I can get out and be able to share about the state of hunger in Ventura County, it's not just helping Food Share, but it's helping all the people that we're serving. So thank you for that opportunity. And I'm happy to share a lot of things about what's going on. So
very good. Very good. So let's just start with you, Monica. You know, everybody is like, you know, who are you as a host? And, you know, but who are you as a person, Monica, your family, who you are, how did you start and what makes you tick?
I'm happy to share that. So I've been a food share for 7 years. I came from my former job was at the Ventura County Star. I was the marketing director and I was overseeing community relations and public relations. And part of my job was to work with all the nonprofits in Ventura County. And so at one point I was on about 8 different nonprofit boards, and one of them was Food Share. And when I was so fortunate to lose my job due to some restructuring over there, this job was available on an interim basis. So having had been on the board, it was kind of a natural transition for me to step in. I knew so many of the volunteers. I knew all of the board members. I knew a lot of the staff. And so 2017, I stepped in as interim. And, you know, they did a search. And a few months later, I had, of course, been doing the job. And I was so fortunate to be able to get it full time. So I've been doing this since June of 2017. 6 months before the Thomas fire hit. So
right. And then who knew that it would be so needed, correct?
It was. I mean, it really was. So 6 months into the job, we saw our lines just absolutely increase because so many people were affected by the Thomas Fire. And the interesting thing, Kim, was it wasn't necessarily the people who had lost their homes. It was the people that were helping to care for all of those homes, you know, that were lost. So we saw gardeners, we saw landscapers, housekeepers, childcare. I mean, there was every aspect of pool cleaners. All of those people had lost their entire, you know, clientele just literally overnight. So those are the people that we were seeing showing up during the Thomas Fire. But I was so happy to be able to be part of something that was able to reach out and to be able to help those in need.
Right, right. And then, so fast forward, the next would have been the pandemic, correct?
Exactly. Yeah. Just when we thought we were getting back on our COVID hit, you know, and in April of 2020, we were, whatever we thought was a disaster during the Thomas Fire was paled in comparison to what we saw during COVID. The lines absolutely exploded and that we were, we had to pivot very, very quickly. And what we did was open up some drive-through distributions. Wow. So, taking a step back and how Food Share actually works is, so as the food bank for Ventura County, what we do is we work with 180 different nonprofits in Ventura County by giving them food for free, delivering it for free. And they are the ones who are feeding, you know, our food insecure neighbors in Ventura County. So our job is to raise the money to be able to source and then purchase, get donations from the government, all of those things, and then be able to get it out through that network. So what we saw, well, is that a lot of our pantries had to close during COVID because they're run by older volunteers. A lot of them are retired, and they were the first to have to shelter in place. So what we saw was a decrease in availability and an increase in demand. So we had to figure out where do we fit in? How do we make this happen? And so we started doing drive-through distributions throughout the county. And what we thought was going to only be about a 90-day program has turned into a 4-year program. So we're still doing our College Park distribution.
Oh, you are.
Wednesday, wow. Every Wednesday, it's down at Oxnard College, and we see 1,000 cars come through there every single week. So it's a huge distribution. We take 70 volunteers every week to be able to run it. And we're just giving out boxes of food, boxes of produce, USDA commodities. So that long tail of COVID is still very much alive and well in food banking. It's taken people a long time to get back on their feet.
That is just incredible. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So that is, so how many people work for Food Share?
It's a great question. So we have 40 full-time employees, but the majority of our work is done by our volunteers. So right. We have 4,400 volunteers who gave over 40,000 hours to us just in last year alone. So it's that combination of the pantry partners, the volunteers, the staff that makes the magic work of how to run a food bank.
It definitely is magic, I have to say. You know, and I have this saying that all my children know, many hands make little work.
That's right.
You know, I've got 4 children, and when one would be sitting down not doing the dishes, and they'd be like, "Mom says many hands make little work. Get up," and you know, because it is true, when you have that many volunteers and in the community, you can help so many more people. So I love that. So first of all, congratulations. I heard your event was amazing. Aww. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Where was it? And talk
sure.
about that. Yeah.
So we have Food Share has 2 big events every single year. Our annual fundraising, we don't do galas because it is actually in the street between our 2 warehouses. We call it a shindig, and it's called Fed Up. It was our 3rd year of doing it in the street. We had over 300 people attend. It's a great night because you can wear jeans and boots. You get to tour the warehouse. We had people pack some of our kitchen free bags, which are for our unhoused. neighbors, and they, when we have, of course, fundraising, we had silent auction, we have bowls made by artisans, local artisans that, that donate them to us. So it's a great way to be able to raise some much needed funds for food share. So we do that in September, and then December, with the one that's coming up, is a really fun community event. It's called Cantry. And Cantry is held right out in downtown Ventura, across from the Mission, right there on Figueroa Plaza. And our community members can build trees out of cans. So they can either collect the cans, bring them, and build a tree. It's like a round tree with cans on it. It takes about 700 cans. And then they decorate it. And then we have prizes and awards for the best decorated trees. So it's really, we've been doing this for 13 years.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a great way to be able to spread the word about hunger in Ventura County. It's a great way to raise food and a great way to raise funds. And we've seen a lot of groups, whether it's, you know, Cabrillo Middle School's robotic team or the County of Ventura or Amgen, you know, they come in and they get very competitive within their individual departments, building the trees. And it's just a really feel good event. We tie it in with Winter Wine Walk. We tie it in with the lighting of the trees. And so there's a lot of things going on downtown during that weekend. And when you walk through it, it's all lit up. They're all decorated. I mean, it is as winter wonderland as you can get in downtown Ventura.
In the hunger world, right?
Yes.
And exactly. All those cans get donated. And wow.
At the end, they all come back to our warehouse, and then it goes out through our network of pantry partners. So it could go to a church in Thousand Oaks. It could go to the Rescue Mission in Oxnard. It could go to Help of Ojai. So there are all these different places of where it goes to. It does take us a long time to sort through all of that food. That's one of our volunteer activities that we love to for people to come in and be able to do. So.
And of course, what are the stipulations for that? Obviously, it has to be it's within the dates, right?
Well, So that's a really good question. And so we have a whole wing in our warehouse where we do rescue sorting. And so it's a 2-hour shift. And one of the first things they have to do from all the food that comes in from the 500 plus food drives every year, the community food drives, the Cantry drive, and then also the national letter carrier drive, where you leave the bag of food out by your mailbox, all that comes back. It takes us months to go through all of that food. So what they do is they look at it, and we have a shelf guideline that most of the food is good 1 to 2 years after that expiration date. So we have some guidelines.
Interesting. It's funny.
Yeah.
I think that you come from the era. Did you ever have anything expire really like in our days? You know what I mean? And now they have so many, little YouTube or I don't know, commercials, like you go to your mom's house and like, oh my God, yes. Mom, look at this ketchup. It's been in here I mean, my kids do that because we travel. And so they're like,
that's
okay,
right.
Mom, and they'll take everything. I'm like, wait a minute, that my oil is still okay, or my olive oil, or but what is that? I mean, is that how does that work for you? I love that.
Yeah, so there's USDA guidelines of that. And so we have a big poster up on the wall that says, if it's a low acid, canned tomatoes, it's good for 1 year or two, and then anything that's not tomato based can be 2 years. There's all these different levels of what it is. So they look up at the guidelines, and it's funny when we do tours and we show people around, everybody always takes a picture of that. And we always joke saying we've saved lots of marriages this way, because people are always going home saying, see, honey, I told you that it's still good. Food Share says it is. So, we always say, and if you're not comfortable with still eating it past that date, give it to us because we can still use it.
I love that. I love that. That's really interesting right there. So very cool. How big is your place? That's another thing.
Yeah. So we have been, Food Share started in 1978 in a 2-car garage. by a group of friends who decided that they needed to feed some veterans from actually the Vietnam War. So they were collecting food, putting it in their garage. And then they received so much support from their friends and more friends that they started to lease a fire station in Satakoy for $1 a month from the city of Ventura, outgrew that place and came to where we are today 38 years ago. So since then, we expanded that building. We bought the building across the street. We've expanded that one twice. And during COVID, we had to lease another 10,000 square feet that we still have today to be able to accommodate at that. So all in, we're at about nearly 50,000 square feet of warehouse space. Everything in there turns about every 4 to 6 weeks.
Unbelievable. So we're obviously your Ventura County. How do you compare to other counties?
That's a great question. So we are part of Feeding America, which is the National Hunger Alleviation Network. We're one of 200 food banks that are feeding every single county in the United States every single day. And as part of Feeding America, we have our own territory, a defined territory. So we can source food and funds within that territory. And it really helps because we're not in competition with our fellow food banks, but we all work very, very well together. We buy food together. We share food. Sometimes we may get more strawberries than we can actually use. So what we do is we share that with Los Angeles. We share it with Sonoma County, get strawberries in exchange. They send us grapes. So we work very, very well together. Also within the state of California, we all buy our produce all together as well. So things that we can't get here, such as apples and pears, potatoes, things that aren't grown in Ventura County, we purchase in bulk with 40 other food banks. So we're able to really make our dollars stretch. So right. For every dollar we receive, we can buy $5 worth of food.
Wow, that's incredible. So question, we live in a farmland and a lot of the fruit and vegetables that we have out here, do people donate those or how does that work?
They do. So we work very closely with our farming community. So when FoodShare started back in 1978, what they did is they were going into the fields and literally following the tractors for everything that they weren't picking up. They said, can we go pick up that lettuce, those carrots, the celery? And they said, sure, no problem. Back in the day, I guess there wasn't any guidelines or something, but we don't do that today anymore. So they were getting them from the fields and they had to find a truck that can actually go into the dirt to be able to pull it all out. So that's how we actually started. Today, we work more with packing houses. We work directly with farms such as Deerdorf Farms. Anybody who is pretty much manufacturing, producing, harvesting food, we're working with them because sometimes they have some excess. Sometimes they have a pallet that may be a little crooked. We work with all of them, including the Port of Wainimi, where we get lots of bananas, as you can imagine. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. I love it. Gosh, well, Monica, this was so enlightening. And it really just kind of tells a story of, how you help our community and how you help our county and how many people work together. It really just shows that we are a county that helps each other. And to make it fuller. And so, first of all, how can my listeners and anybody that's viewing this learn more about how they could feel really passionate about helping and being a part of this?
I thank you so much for asking that because I was going to tell you anyway. Okay. never lose an opportunity to be able
that's
to get
that's right.
So one fun thing that we do, we invite everybody to come tour FoodShare. I think one thing that whenever anybody comes, they always have the same impression, like I had no idea. Once you come to our warehouse and you see the scope of the operation, it really helps with understanding the scope of food insecurity in Ventura County. So we have a monthly, or actually every other month, it's called Food for Thought. It's lunch and tour with the CEO. Sometimes we do breakfast and tours. Sometimes we do cocktails and tours. So we mix it up so everyone has an opportunity to come. You come, I'll give you a tour, and it's about 20 people or so. We sit down, we have a little snack, a lunch, and then you can ask questions. And at the end, I'm always saying there's three ways that we can use your support. We can use your dollars. Again, for every dollar we provide, we can buy, we can buy $5 worth of food. We can use your hours. We need those 4,400 volunteers on an annual basis, and we can use your food. So if you want to do a food drive, you want to come to Cantree and donate some, you know, buy a Cantree. If you are a farmer and you have excess of produce to be able to share with us, it's the combination of all three of those that really makes the magic happen here at FoodShare.
I love it. I love it. I would love to come and check that out. I've been there before. It's been a while because it's so much bigger now and better, and it's just helping so many more people. So I'd love to have you give out the website or how people can sign up for that.
All of it is on our website. So it's foodshare.com. And on there, you can find ways for all three of those, how to sign up for a volunteer activity. It's very easy, on how you can donate, and how you can actually hold a community food drive. And we also have an app as well, Kim. So if you search under either for Android and Apple, if you go to FoodShare Ventura County, you'll be able to download the app and you can do all of that on there.
Very good. Very good. Monica, it was a pleasure to talk with you, and please keep this avenue open so that I can be a part of sharing for our community. It's really about many hands make little work, and I appreciate that. And this truly is the brighter side of life and business. I want to ask you one last question. What makes you so successful?
Oh, well, Kim, don't stop that.
I know, all right.
One of the things I did share at the event during my speech last Saturday was that my why of why I am here is that what I really wanted to be able to do. I don't have a lived experience about hunger, and I didn't grow up hungry, but I did grow up with a family that was very much, you're going to go to school and you're going to get a business degree. And so being able to utilize my business education, my decades of marketing experience. I knew so many people in Ventura County from my time at the Ventura County Star. And just the passion to be able to do good and to be able to help others, no matter what that looked like. That was what I really wanted to be able to do. And today, you know, this job is my reality, that I actually was able to find something that combined all of those. And if I can help FoodShare to be able to grow, to be sustainable, and to be able to ensure that no one goes hungry in Ventura County, my mom, who's no longer with us, I'm sure would be very proud.
I love that. I love that. You do help so many, and you always have such an incredible smile and positive outlook. And I love that. So thank you so much. I had to just throw that in just to, like, you know, hear what makes, that's going to be one of my things. I think I'm going to, you know, people need to know how to lift their life up and to live their best life. And not only is it work. Yeah, it's work, but it's doing what makes you feel so passionate that you're not working.
Yeah, that's true. Or you just volunteer.
There you go. Exactly. I love it. All right. Thank you so much. Yeah. Monica White, FoodShare, Ventura County. And of course, I'm Kim Pagano with the Brighter Side of Life and Business. Thank you so much for tuning in.
And remember that you can download our podcast and you could be a part of my mixer, my business mixer. So I can not only share you, but get to know you and share your business. All right. I'm excited for my next guest. And of course, that is Terry L. Batch. And of course, she is the president and CEO of Global LA, and she spent her career champion. These are like champion women powerhouses that I got on my show this today. And economic development, 2 decades of it with the U.S. Department of Commerce. And of course, Global LA is a 501c3 and a public-private partnership. It's dedicated to to really promoting opportunities for foreign direct investment and international collaborations. Terry has been around since last year, and of course, she just got back. She returned from her first overseas event of Global LA to promote Los Angeles to potential investors and partners prior to starting the 2024 Summer Olympic Games in Paris and France. I can't wait to talk to her. And of course, let's bring her on and find out a little bit more. And of course, remember that if you don't get my newsletter every single Friday, you can find out more about my amazing guests and find out how to get in touch with them and work with them. Terry, welcome, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's exciting to be here with you.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. And of course, we always want to know how people got started and the inspiration that keeps you going.
Well, you know, it's a long backstory, so I'm going to keep it really short.
Okay.
I am not originally from California. I'm originally from Georgia, but I've been here. I'm a proud transplant. I've been here for 25 years, so I consider myself a Californian now, even though I will always be a Georgia
girl. I agree.
But I came here as a grad student and studied at USC, and while I was there, well, I knew before I came that I was really interested in international and in an international career, and there's really no better place to do that without leaving the state than Los Angeles, because it's such an international place. And so I got started in this career by studying abroad. I studied abroad in undergrad. I went to China, and then when I was in grad school here in USC, I went to Taiwan, and so I learned Mandarin. I learned Chinese. And so I was trying to figure out what do I do with this language that I've acquired. So I began my career with the Commerce Department, and that's a backstory too, because I had a fellowship with them. And so I was required to go and work for the U.S. government. And so I started that here in Los Angeles and stayed in that career for 20 years and did a number of different roles throughout those 20 years. And then last year, I saw the opportunity for Global LA. And, you know, I was kind of at the height of all the things that I was doing at the Commerce Department. But I also knew that the Olympics were right around the corner here in Los Angeles. And I was trying to figure out how do I get involved with that movement. So Global LA was a perfect way to kind of bridge my background with international and helping U.S. companies do business abroad, and then also doing something here locally in LA. So I'm happy to be in this role.
I love that. So let me ask you, like, what is the simplest way to really explain what Global LA is?
So the simplest way to explain it is Global LA is a marketing organization to market the city and the region to attract businesses to come here and establish themselves, either expand to the when they're expanding to the U.S. market, that they would expand in Los Angeles. So telling the story of L.A., of all that makes up this region. And when I say L.A., I mean really Southern California. Mm-hmm. So there's so much diversity of not only just of people, but also industry sectors that really drive the economy here. So what Global LA is tasked to do with doing is telling that story, is letting the international audience know all that LA has to offer from a business perspective.
Wow. Okay, so that's really interesting. So talk to us about sustainability in clean tech.
Okay. What would you like to know about sustainability in clean tech?
Well, I mean, this is just so interesting in so many depths. To this, that, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, what do you want the world to know about you, Terry?
Well, I will tell you this, as far as like sustainability and clean tech, Los Angeles is a leader, not only from a national perspective, California is a leader in that realm, but also from a global perspective. So we have some major companies that are looking at renewables and different ways of running or having energy for our for our local area and also for the state. So it really attracts companies that are innovative and also looking for alternative ways to have power. So here in LA, we have a couple of one place that I love to highlight is Lacey, and that's the LA Clean Tech Incubator. That's an investment by the city and also LA Department of Water and Power. And that's where companies, like young companies, can go and incubate their new ideas and get the local support that they need to grow and establish their businesses. And so it's also a great place for if I'm a company somewhere else in the world, and you know, you name the country, and they want to either test case their technology here in Los Angeles, Lacey's a great local partner where they could connect with and test it out and grow that technology here locally.
Wow. And is there a lot of women in this industry?
In international trade or foreign direct investment or sustainability, or which one?
All of them.
You know what? It's interesting you asked me that question. Throughout my career, I will tell you, I've gotten used to being one of few. And I could talk about that as a woman. I could talk about that as an African-American, as, you know, even as a Southerner, you know.
Right.
But I think that I will say there are few, but I will say that the women that I have encountered in this space, whether it's in international trade or just business in general, pretty much all understand that we are few in numbers, but there's so much support amongst women. I'll give you an example. Last year, I did a program. This was before I left the Commerce Department, and it was an Empowering Women in International Trade conference. I did it at LA City Hall. And
oh, my gosh. I would have loved to have been there.
Oh, I know. I wish I would have known you then.
Yeah, next time, please. Yeah, I would love to.
Yeah, well, there are some other women's focus type things coming up, and I know that since I've left the Commerce Department here locally in LA, they did another one this past June. So when I know of activities coming up, I'll let you know about it.
Oh, that would be great. Thank you, Terry.
But this was a really unique event in that there were probably about 20-something-odd speakers at this. It was a full day, kind of like conference. And every woman kind of spoke from their perspective, but they mm-hmm. also had different expertise. Like they had, women in finance that help with transactions, women in logistics that can help with, you know, if you're moving goods, moving products, you know, cross border, women in marketing that can help you tailor your message to a particular market, a particular country, you know, all the different aspects that it takes to do international business. There are women, but it's a matter of bringing us all together so that we can support one another.
I think that at this point of my life, what I love about other women is just kind of fixing their crown. You know, they're already amazing.
Yeah.
How do you make them, you know, stronger? And we all go through highs and lows, right? But how
Absolutely.
Do we all shine together? And that's really what it's all about. And that sounds like what you're talking about.
Yes. And sometimes, you know, you just have to remind people of the power that they do have and the expertise that they have. But sometimes, you know, we kind of take for granted what we know and be like, oh, it's mm-hmm. no big deal. But no, it really is a big deal.
It is a big deal. And you, I mean, look at you. You are a big deal. My first guest is the CEO of FoodShare, Ventura County FoodShare. They feed like 75,000. They're top. I mean, you know, these mm-hmm. you guys are powerhouses, and it just you know, you can only learn from people like you.
Oh, well,
from
thank
all
you.
Of us.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I love it. So what else? Okay, I know that you touch so many areas. Advanced manufacturing, biotech and life science, entertainment and tech. How do you keep all these balls up in the air?
Well, I'll tell you, there are a lot of those are a lot of balls to keep in the air. And when you think about Los Angeles and even just the region, Southern California, there's so much happening here. And it is not a one-person job. And this is a Global LA is a startup, so I'm still in the process of building momentum for this organization and also eventually growing a team that can really speak to all those areas of focus that which is a part of telling that story and attracting businesses into those specific industry sectors. But it has to be done through partnership. And the nice thing about LA, like I pointed out, Lacey, for all of those in those different sectors, there are business groups, there are incubators, there are organizations that can support companies coming to and those industries coming to the region. And, you know, it's definitely a team sport. It's not like any one organization can do it by themselves. But with everybody working together, you can really attract the types of businesses that help bolster the economy and also create local jobs.
I love that. I love that. And, you know, I really believe we are better together. You know, you want to do something big, you better have a tribe behind you. You better have support.
Yeah.
You better have, yeah. I mean, that's what life's about.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So let me ask you, first of all, what's next for you?
What is next? I will say, well, right now I'm coming up on my 1 year in this role. Mm-hmm. So I'm in kind of like a reflection mode. And really just looking at, I've been just kind of making a list of all the people and all the organizations and everyone that I've touched in the past year, getting the word out about Global LA. And it's extensive, an extensive list. So
right.
In terms of what's next, it's really highlighting what Global LA has done, but then also what everything else that Global LA can do. And, you know, with this year, with the Olympics being in Paris, we really leveraged Paris France as a destination to attract businesses from, because a lot of the businesses there are looking to Los Angeles in 4 years. We're going to be hosting the Olympics. So some of those businesses, they want to come and establish a presence here, so because they see the value and the economic impact of what happened in Paris. So we want to attract those businesses. But it's not just from there. It's also other parts of the world. Asia is a huge investor here in Los Angeles, even like north and south of the border, Canada, and also Mexico. So really just establishing a strong presence for Los Angeles and getting the word out there that we welcome businesses here and we want to see them set up shop and also thrive in our local economy.
Wow. That's beautiful. There you go. I love it. And are you married and family, and how does that all work into your life?
Oh, yes, I am. I am married. I'm actually about to celebrate my 21st wedding anniversary next week.
Oh,
I can't believe
congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
you go.
21 years, and then I have two daughters. One just started college here locally at Pepperdine, and then I have another one that's in high school. So my life is very full. It's very full.
We're blessed, right? That's what it's
yes.
all about. We're blessed.
Absolutely.
So how do you, I always love to ask a busy woman, you know, how do you start your day? Because we always say start your day in a positive way. And, and that, you know, it just helps people that maybe aren't as organized. Maybe their life isn't as full, to just really get an idea of what makes up your day.
Well, you know, that's interesting you say that. Well, first of all, 3 days out of the week, I start my day with a workout. So I try to get
good
up.
Good for
and,
you.
And definitely
that's
move.
Awesome. Great to hear that.
Yeah. You know, we're so sedentary. So I'm very intentional. I work out with a trainer. And I get up at like 5 o'clock in the morning and do it early, because by the time, you know, 7 o'clock rolls around, it's too late to even be thinking about working out. And
this
the day is already taken off.
I'm at 5 o'clock too. So if you ever
yeah.
need a friend to call at that time, I'll be right there. I'm like,
okay,
up,
all right.
Like, you know. sneaking out. It's like my favorite time.
It is. That's a, you know, for a mom, you know, that's when you can get stuff done. I mean, unless you have small kids who like to wake up early, which fortunately and unfortunately, my daughter that's left at home, she does not like to wake up. So it's always a struggle in the morning. But I do that 3 times a week. And I would say on the days that, and then after I have a good workout, I'd get a cup of coffee. I love to get, you know, just a good latte. And, you know, then I'm like, okay, I'm ready to start. On the days that I don't, I just kind of, I try to ease into the day. You know, I usually wake up about 6. So when I don't work out, I'm up at 6 a.m. I always try to connect to my source. I am definitely a person of faith.
Okay, got you.
Whether that's, you know, whether that's reading my Bible or listening to a song or just having quiet time and centering myself, because I have to be centered in doing this work, because this is a hard job. It's really, really hard. So I have to remember where my source is and also connect to that. And know that, you know, I'm being guided, and it's not just me doing random stuff. You know,
I
that
call
there's
it
a purpose.
Close your eyes and look inside. You know, it's like, oh, am I in the right place? Am I doing the right thing? Does my heart tell me that this feels good? Yes.
All of that is like, I have to kind of have that moment, and also just feel like, you know, okay, this is going to work out. This is worth it. So,
hello.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in yourself or wouldn't believe in what you're doing, why should anybody else? Right. Yeah. Wow, Terry. Good stuff. And how do you, so balance, I mean, that's really the name of, you know, balance, right? The name of life is, and how do you fall back to that?
Well, you know, I don't know that I'm like the best person to ask about balance. Because I feel like I am pretty a balanced person, but you know, some things you have to not be able to, you just can't do. I'm not out there a lot. At a lot of different things. I look at some of my other girlfriends who's married, have kids, and have a career, and they're always at social things. And I'm like, I don't even know how you do that, because I'm tired.
Right.
So I just don't know. I don't know how you're able to be at this concert and be at this, at, you know, this party, and you still got kids and you got a husband and all that. So I'm pretty much, you know, my family's my priority, and it's always been, and my husband's that way too. We're just not that kind of couple that's always out and about. You know, people, I think we both have kind of powerhouse careers, but you wouldn't really know it because our girls have always come first, and we don't even like
tout
what we do. You know, we just do what we do, but then, you know, it's all for your family, really. Giving opportunities.
I love that.
Yeah. So
that.
Balance, I think my balance, my family gives me the balance that I need, but I work a lot. Like I have a home office. It's right here. And maybe I got to draw a line eventually and be like, you know what? I cannot work in my bedroom, but
this is true. I tried that too.
See, it's
all about finding balance, and that's every single day. Terry L. Batch, thank you so much for your time and your interview and really just getting to know you. How do my listeners find out more about you?
Well, they can go to our website, global.la, so just global.la, or they can also find us if they have a LinkedIn profile. They can find us on LinkedIn. We're also on every social media site, so whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok even. We have a few videos up. We're still developing videos, but they can connect with us and find out about the work that we're doing and also just get more information about how global of the city Los Angeles is.
I love it. Terry, thank you so much. Please share our show. We're on all those stations and channels too. And also download our podcast and share us. And if you know any other amazing people that we could bring here to the brighter side of life and business, please share.
I will. Thank you so much. I appreciate the
opportunity.
Thank you,
Terry. Have a really great rest of your day. Take care.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right, we are going to take a really quick break. And of course, when we come back, we are going to talk with Dr. Mahmoud Kazemi. And of course, Medi-Cal has actually expanded their coverage on continuous glucose monitors to help with your diabetes. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to empower your child with the skills they need to safely enjoy the water? Kim O'Brien with Survival Swim with Kim, Infant Aquatics, teaches self-rescue swim skills to children of all ages. Self-rescue skills can save a child's life if they accidentally fall into the water. After losing her daughter to drowning, Kim became a certified survival swim instructor to help families in Ventura County protect their children. Survival Swim with Kim teaches kids 6 months and up how to roll and float independently. Don't wait. Check out survivalswimwithkim.com. That's survivalswimwithkim.com or call Kim at 805-620-7177. That's 805-620-7177.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Are you worried your perfect customers are finding you online, then clicking away because your website makes your business look outdated? Imagine this, having a website that reflects your expertise and professionalism. Peace of mind knowing your website is kept up to date and secure. A managed hosting plan, especially for your website. If you're ready to have all that you imagined, visit webweaversconsulting.com. For WordPress website packages, maintenance plans, and hosting plans, Webweavers Consulting will make your website work for you so you can focus on making a difference in your own unique way. That's webweaversconsulting.com.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit TNTAMS.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to TNTAMS.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses, or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life and business. And did you know that nearly 40 million Americans have diabetes? Today, we have Dr. Mahmoud Kazemi and Fran List, and they are going to be talking about some of the things that Medicare beneficiaries have started covering. So let's welcome Dr. Mahmoud, are you there? And Fran.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Thank you so much for being here and joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Dr. Mahmoud Kazemi, you are the Chief Medical Officer of Abbott's Diabetes Care Business. That's and then, of course, we have Fran List here, Medicare beneficiary living with diabetes. Today, we are going to be talking about that Medicare actually expanded their coverage, right, to help out. And so I'm excited to share this with our listeners. So again, good morning to both of you and welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so Dr. Mahmood, let's start with you. Someone with diabetes needs to know their glucose levels, correct? And what kind of challenges do people with diabetes face daily when it comes to keeping their levels in a healthy range?
So in terms of living with diabetes, this is a complex health condition. It really involves how the body converts fuel into energy. And this involves the hormone insulin. So for people who are living with diabetes, their bodies are either not producing enough insulin or the body is not using the insulin that is being produced efficiently. And therefore, they do need to keep track of their glucose levels. And one of the important things to realize is that many of the symptoms of diabetes are unfortunately very similar to those of normal aging, things like worsening vision or needing to go to the bathroom frequently. So it is really important, especially as we get older, to get screened regularly for diabetes and to also realize that there are technologies like continuous glucose monitoring or CGMs that can really improve the quality of life for those who are living with diabetes.
So Dr. Mahmood, let me ask you a question. So when you go get your blood work done, they usually check that, right? That's one of the common things. Are they able to totally tell from your blood work?
So depending on the blood test that's drawn, there are ones that are diagnostic for diabetes. In many cases, even if you have one blood test done that suggests that the person may have diabetes, it does need to be repeated to confirm the diagnosis. But yes, to answer your question, there are blood tests that can be used as diagnostic criteria for the diagnosis of diabetes.
Okay, so that's good news right there, right?
And
continuous glucose monitors. Tell us more about that and how do they work?
So continuous glucose monitors have been available for about 20 years, but unfortunately less than 10% of people living with diabetes are still using them. And that's part of the reason we're here today is we want to ensure that the remaining 90% plus of individuals living with diabetes are aware of this technology and are accessing it so that they can also enjoy the benefits of this technology. So these are CGMs, are sensors. In the case of the FreeStyle Libre sensors, some of these can be worn for 15 days. They're applied to the back of the arm. Some of them are as small as 2 stacked pennies, so they're quite small and discreet. And these sensors are continuously measuring glucose levels and relaying them to either a smartphone app or to a reader. And then this glucose information can be used by the person living with diabetes to make informed decisions regarding their activity, their food choices, their medications. So really essential part of diabetes management and one that replaces, in most cases, the need to do a finger stick measurement where people were pricking their fingertips for a blood sample to measure this information.
So you're no longer needing to do that pretty much, right?
Essentially, in almost all cases, that is correct. That is right. Yeah, this
So it's come a long way. And Fran, again, thank you so much for joining us. And Fran List.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about your stuff. You've actually experienced, you have diabetes, right? And
yes.
And you actually use the continuous glucose monitor. Can you share a little bit about your experience?
Sure. First, I'll tell you that when I was first diagnosed with diabetes, like so many people my age, I was in denial. I didn't want to think about having another disease. And it's an overwhelming disease, and it's restrictive. I find that a CGM gives me the knowledge that I need to make good choices. And it's been life-changing for me. I know that I can make smart choices about what I eat. I know I can make smart choices about the activities I engage in. My husband and I, we like to travel. I don't fear going anywhere, whether it's up a hillside, mountainside, wherever. I feel comfortable because I have a CGM and can take it anytime.
It's almost like a personal assistant, right? You know? you're not eating the right thing or you're right. I mean, is that kind of...
As much as it is a little, I feel like it's a little person on my arm checking me out. It's the knowledge that I get that either I'm going high or low. I know what to do about it. I know, you know, if I go either direction, you know, the CGM alarms me, and from then on, it's my choice as to how I handle it. And it's been very enlightening to me.
And what were some of the symptoms that you had before you were diagnosed, or when you were diagnosed?
To be honest with you, part of the reason I was in that denial was because I didn't feel it happening to me. Mm. And now that it's progressed, and I've had diabetes now for 13 years, now that it's progressed, I'm starting to feel some of those feelings. And I know if I feel that way, I should be checking my blood sugar or my blood glucose with my CGM. And I do that probably 12, 13, 14 times a day.
Thank you so much for being a guest here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life and Business. And, of course, Dr. Mahmood Kazemi and Fran List, thank you again. And can you give out that website one more time?
Sure. It was myfreestyle.com. So definitely a good resource for all things CGM.
You got it. All right. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you again.
Really interesting stuff, and I hope that all of you can reach out if you are going through that. And, of course, we always end our show with a moment of happiness. Nothing is impossible. The world, the word itself says I'm possible. With that, I do want to also remind you again, if you have a business or you are starting a business or you are an entrepreneur, reach out to us, because we would love to have you at our in-person mixer, and that is happening October 10th at the Palm Garden Hotel in Newbury Park, Thousand Oaks. And all you have to do is text us, mixer, at 805-419-0008. Love to get you there. Have a great rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you next week.